Welcome, Helen Alliance Church family. A number of you are gathered here in our sanctuary on this Friday night as we tape it, and then many more will be watching it online in our service on Sunday morning. Happy Mother's Day. Trust that you are using this opportunity to bless and appreciate your mothers. And we want to offer congratulations to Kirsten Schlack, our newest mother in the congregation, who gave birth this week to a little boy named Ryder. Incidentally, the Howers will be hosting a baby shower for Kirsten and Ryder this next Sunday at 2 p.m. at their house. And if any of you want to attend, we'd love to have you there, as long as we can do the social distancing, of course. Chris said Ryder arrived early to attend his shower, and we're glad that both mother and baby are healthy. You know, being a mom is a challenging responsibility. And of course, if you want to learn anything about it, just go on the internet. And so I found this article, 12 Reasons You're a Great Mom. And I think many of the moms here will relate. Number one, you kept your baby alive. This is not a joke. Newborns are scary, and you've learned how to cradle your baby's fragile head and keep its neck straight. Go you. Number two, you don't know what you're doing, but you do it anyway. Number three is similar. You're scared, but you do it anyway. Number four, you're an expert Googler. Thank the Lord above for Google, because now you can compare rashes and types of baby poop to separate a legitimate emergency from a new mom freakout. Number five, you feed the baby all day long. Seriously, babies eat constantly. If you've gotten up at 3 a.m. to feed your baby, you're a great mom. Six, you think about your baby all day long. As cheesy as that sounds, any mom can tell you that it's impossible to get your baby off your brain. Number seven, you make your kids food. Whether you're making breast milk, blending up baby purees, or cutting up grilled cheese for your toddler, making nutritious, delicious food for kids is really hard. And bonus points for not screaming when the toddler throws your dinner on the floor. Number eight, you feed your kid more than you feed yourself. The ninth reason you're a great mom, you use your superhuman strength to cart your baby around. This is what I relate to as a dad. Babies are way heavier than anyone tells you. And I'm often amazed at these moms carrying very large babies or toddlers on their hips. Number 10, you exercise superhuman patience in the face of tantrums. Every parent is tempted to freak out when their toddler screams, especially in Walmart. I just added that. 11, you've given up sleeping until noon. Yeah, that's probably not going to happen for a few good years. But sleep is overrated, right? And 12, you try to balance it all and fail miserably. Every mom does. You try to please your husband, your kids, your boss, your friends, and yourself, and it never works. Don't worry. Sometimes you pull it off better than others. You're still a good mom. Some time ago, I read the difference between a good and a great mom. Good moms let you lick the beaters. Now, I remember how fun that was, mom making cookies, lick off the batter off the beater. But great moms turn the beaters off first. So there you go. Mother's Day is a two-edged sword. While it's appropriate and desirable to celebrate and honor our moms, it can be a day of considerable pain for many women. The day of blessing is also a sad reminder to women who, for many reasons, have been unable to have children, or those who have lost children to a miscarriage. For others, it's a reminder of a painful death of a loving mother who has passed away and is not going to be there to be honored this year. Or the regret of being abandoned as a child, neglected by one's mother. Not everyone has had the best of mothers, and that hurtful relationship might be very real to you. There can be a number of reasons why this day brings sadness, and I want to assure you today that we're cognizant of those reasons. We pray for your comfort and encouragement in this area of your life. But there's the other side of it, which is the joy and the beauty of celebrating our moms and the mothers of in our life. Many years ago, I was reading through the Bible, and I came across Psalm chapter 20. And as I read it, I thought, how appropriate this prayer is for mothers and the special women in our lives in general. And so I began to often, as Mother's Day approaches, I look at this passage, and I thought I would preach again from it today. And I offer it today as a prayer for you to use in blessing the women in your life. Let's read Psalm 20, 1 through 7. You can follow on the screen, and or you can turn to it in your Bible. But let's read it together. For the director of music, a psalm of David, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings, Selah. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. David is praying this prayer, and he's offering thoughts to others about what they could pray. Now, I'm always alert to prayers in the Bible to help me with my own prayers. Too often when I pray, I resort to those familiar phrases, Lord, bless so-and-so, Lord, be with them, Lord, help them, Lord, watch over them. And so a passage like this gives us some real meat to use in prayer. It therefore makes prayer more interesting. It engages our minds. And I want to bring out four things today that this passage, David prays for some loved one in his life. Chapter 20, 1 and 2 says, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. David prays that God will answer their prayers and grant them success. Support, or grant them support. Support would be our first key word. Distress is something that's common to everybody, right? But I've been thinking this week about how it's more descriptive of women and moms than it is of men. For instance, when our children have serious concerns, they're upset about something, they're distressed, Rhonda and I both respond with loving concern. I care. I want to protect them. I want to offer solutions for them. I want to help them through the pain. Of course I care. But Rhonda cares differently. She feels what they're feeling. If they're feeling distressed, she begins to feel distressed. Now, maybe this isn't 100% gender related, but I think many of us would know that a mother's love and emotional involvement goes to a deeper level when it comes to feeling the pain of her children. David's prayer is that in these times of distress, where we naturally cry out to God, that God will answer and send them aid, send them support. So here's a good prayer for us. Lord, hear the cries of distress from the women and moms in our world. Answer them. Send them help. Support them. Notice that David prays that they will find help from the Lord. Now, I know that many men are try to be supportive. We want to support our wives or our moms, but women, you just need to know that we're always going to fail at some point. And that your strength, David says, primarily comes from the Lord. Notice also in this passage that David prays that the name of the God of Jacob will protect them. I want to have you think that the little phrase, the God of Jacob, is more than just window dressing in this passage. Remember that story of Jacob, how he was returning home to meet Esau, who last heard was out to kill him. And so he sent numerous gifts of flocks and herds ahead to pacify his brother. And then he's even taken his close family and had them cross the creek. And he spends the night alone. Jacob has been on a long journey of discovery as to who God is. And during that night, another man from God, a God man, comes and begins to wrestle with Jacob. They're evenly matched. This wrestling match goes on all night. Finally, the God man touches Jacob's hip and wrenches it in a way that incapacitates him. Now, my wrestling coach friend tells me how critical the hips are to driving with one's legs in a wrestling match. And to have his hip out of joint would have made it impossible for Jacob to do anything more than just to cling to his opponent. And that's what he does. Jacob clings to God, and he cries out for blessing. And he says, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." David prays that the God of that Jacob, the Jacob who struggled with God, the Jacob who cried out in his distress and was answered, the Jacob who limps as a reminder of his ongoing need and dependence in God, may the God of that Jacob, he says, protect you. Secondly, in verse 3 of chapter 20, we find the key word, the idea of significance. May he remember your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. Now, of course, when he mentions sacrifices and burnt offerings, he's talking about those items that were brought to the temple for worship. And there would have been great diversity in the value of those items. Some who were wealthy would bring oxen and sheep. And it must have felt superior to the poor people who maybe only had a dove or some grain to offer to the Lord. And David prays that regardless of the value, that God will remember their sacrifice, that God will give it value. It's speaking to us of significance. Again, how appropriate that is as a prayer for our moms. Different studies have concluded that one of the great challenges for a mom is to feel significant. I know how guilty I was of this as a young husband, and I really like how I phrase that, implying that I was only guilty of this as a young husband, and that somehow I've gotten over it. But I remember those days when I'd come home from saving the world, and I was a young pastor, and I was preaching, and I was praying for the sick and counseling marriages. I was asked to serve on some district and college boards, important stuff. And then I would come into the house, and I wouldn't really want to hear about the trivial aspects of Rhonda's day, how tired she was of being pregnant and nursing a child, dealing with their messes, spilt milk. The nature of her work felt insignificant, and I added to it by sometimes my disinterest. Everything she did was usually going to be undone and repeated many times during the day. At the end of the day, the house was probably going to be dirty again. The meals were all going to be eaten. The clothes would need to be rewashed. It felt endless to her. Most of us have a problem with noticing, remembering, appreciating the work others do, and it creates insignificance. David is right on here where he prays that God will remember. When God remembers, it shows that God noticed. It shows that God gives credit to what has been done, that God will reward, that God values. Well, I do a lot of yard work in the spring, and along with a number of the guys in the church, we've done over 180 lawn cleanups. And I have to tell you, it is dirty work. It seems like we get a rain and we go out the next day and the lawns are still just a boil of dust. And I'm aware that I track a lot of that dirt into the house, which miraculously goes away as Rhonda puts the broom and dustpan back in the closet. So I try to notice. I try to appreciate the work that she does, the amount of dirt that she cleans up. And I often say to her that if there's any praise or any reward, she's going to get her fair share of it for all the work she does. Those are wonderful words, aren't they? I can imagine she'd rather hear the sound of the vacuum cleaner than those nice words. Significance. The third word that I want to give to you out of verse 4 in chapter 20 is the word success. David says, "May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed." Everybody wants to be successful. To have the desires of our heart fulfilled, to have our plans come to fruition, those are things that we all want, and our moms want it as well. We can pray for their success. And Proverbs over and over tells us that the primary desire of a mom's heart is the well-being of her children. Proverbs 10:1, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother." 17:21, "To have a fool for a child brings grief. There is no joy for the parent of a godless fool." 23 verses 24 and 25, "The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful." I wonder today how well we know what our wives and moms' the deep desires are. How well do we know what the purposes and plans of their heart that they're seeking the Lord for? Are we supporting them? Are we praying for them? Are we encouraging them? Do we understand the depth of the desires? Men, I'm not asking you to understand women, why they think like they do, but we can listen and we can learn and we can understand what it is that is important to them. One of the passions our children and grandchildren are learning about Rhonda is her passion for the unborn. Even today, she was talking to our granddaughter about abortion and the killing of the living unborn child in a mother's womb. And as she talked and I was in the other room, her voice was raising. And I could tell she was getting animated. And she had thought through her arguments. She was going to convince our grandchild. And I liked it. I liked that, hearing that passion. We don't have to be clueless like Elkanah of 1 Samuel. His wife Hannah was heartbroken by her inability to have a child. Elkanah represents all the clueless men of all the ages when he thinks he's consoling her by saying, "Aren't I worth more to you than 10 sons?" Well, maybe that seems logical to this self-absorbed male, but it totally misses the mark. It misses the heartfelt, God-given dream and passion of Hannah. How much better if Elkanah could have responded with this prayer of David and would have said something like, "May God give you the desire of your heart." The last key word that I want to give you from this passage is the word shared celebration or shouting. Verse 5 says, "May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God." May we shout for joy. The passage begins with distress and pain. There is sacrifice. There are desires. And now he speaks of it all culminating in the answered prayer of victory. Her plans do succeed. The desires of the heart are realized. Now there's victory and celebration. There's even shouts of joy. And men, we are to be our wives' and our moms' best cheerleaders. Children, you are to be your mother's best cheerleader. Before any guy starts to object and that, well, I'm not really the shouting kind of husband, let me remind you that there are things that make us shout. Super Bowls, trophy elk, pay raises, a beautiful truck or motorbike. We can get pumped about that. How about taking to heart sharing in the celebration of mom's victories? Shared emotion is a key to intimacy. It's one of the ingredients of how we deepen relationships. When we share the joys and success of another person and celebrate with them, we say that they're important. We enter into their life in a way that deepens our relationship. I'm glad a few years ago I had the good sense when Rhonda retired to call her company or place of business and arrange for a retirement party for her. Rhonda had worked for many years in places where people left without any recognition. One lady had been there 20 years and they didn't even acknowledge when she left. The new job supervisor was a ready accomplice to put together a party, and we celebrated Rhonda's 30 plus years as a registered nurse. Proverbs 31 is a great chapter of a godly woman. Sometimes we begrudge her for being so perfect, setting such an unreachable standard. I wonder if maybe we should remember that it could be a composite of the best of women. Certainly having servants made it easier for her to excel. But sometimes we miss the point. The writer of Proverbs is praising this wife of noble character, and to do so, he takes the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. He goes from A to Z, so to speak, and he begins each verse with a letter in sequence to describe this noble wife. He thought it through. He thought through the various positive characteristics and put it into a poetic tribute of gratitude and appreciation. How loved it must have felt made her feel. Maybe someone today will take this challenge and you'll go through the alphabet. You can use the English alphabet and you can celebrate the achievements, the character, the success of your mom or a wife and shout for joy. She's accessible, always there. B, she's beautiful in her boldness for the Lord. C, she demonstrates confidence in her esteem and has Christ-like character. We could go through the entire alphabet and pay tribute in a way that celebrates with her the success. David concludes this segment of his Psalm 20 by saying that it's God who gives victory. God answers from heaven. And so we trust Him. Some will trust in chariots, the physical resources around them. But David says, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. My prayer for you, may God bless you as you endeavor to be a blessing to your mom or your wife, a significant woman in your life. And may these thoughts direct you in some practical ways on how you can be a blessing to them. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this great day that you've given us to remind us to celebrate and honor our mothers. We acknowledge that there can be pain involved in that. I know those who have lost their mothers recently. It'll be a sad reminder. But help us to do well at entering in like David does in this psalm and find ways that we can pray and appreciate and trust God together to bring their dreams and hopes to fruition, to bless them in their lives. And we ask you to do this over and over. Bring much joy into the lives of our moms as they see their children walking in obedience and faith. Thank you for this wonderful day. We bless your name. Amen.